You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland's 21 local boards united in a letter to Mayor Wayne Brown last week, rejecting that they must absorb a $17.6 million budget shortfall tied to the Fairer Funding Initiative. The letter, dated March 10, highlights the significant pressures imposed on local board activities due to the cost-cutting measures, asserting that local boards had no control over the budget and all decisions were made without any reference to any local board. While Wayne Brown responded earlier this week, ensuring that local boards would not need to seek extra funding to cover the budget shortfall this year, these discussions will become relevant again for next year's budget. Group Chief Financial Officer for Auckland Council, Ross Tucker, says the council is embarking on a challenging transition to an equity-based funding model that will see local boards being empowered with more budget autonomy as well as greater budget responsibility. Also, as the need increases to address the number of roaming dogs on the street as well as the number of dog attacks, Auckland Council has opened a council-operated dog adoption centre. Last year, less than half of roaming dogs were claimed by their owners, the lowest amount in a decade. The adoption centre, which opened on the weekend, will house over 40 dogs in an effort to relieve the strain on animal shelters around Auckland. I spoke to Councillor Shane Henderson about both of these issues this morning. To start off, I asked him to explain the purpose of Auckland Council's Fairer Funding Initiative.
Yeah, I'll zoom out a little bit for the listeners because it's actually pretty complicated. But long story short, we've got 21 local boards in Auckland, and they're elected representatives that help with your kind of local issues, localised to your kind of neighbourhood. And they have funding that comes through the governing body of Auckland Council. So the councillors and the mayor, they get given a certain amount of money to go and address the needs of the community, right? Now, recently, we adopted what's called a fairer funding proposal, which is essentially, we've been amalgamated for a long time and things have changed and we need to look at things probably in a fairer way in terms of funding them. So in terms of the community's socioeconomic characteristics, their population, their area, so forth, right? And there'll be adjustments there for different communities and some of them have been underserved and will need to get a top up in their sort of funding. Now that's kind of the background. So then what happened is we passed this proposal and everything seemed tickety-boo, celebration station. And then it was discovered a couple of months later that $17 million was the shortfall in terms of funding that due to miscalculations and whatnot. So we'd have to go back and try and find extra money. Now that's a really tough situation and tough to handle. Local boards, understandably, were really annoyed and freaked out about it. So banded together and sent a letter to their councillors to say, look, you guys have got to sort this out, okay? And sort it out we did. So I'm pretty happy with that. While I've still got the floor, I should acknowledge Councillor Julie Ferry, who led in this process and rolled up her sleeves to get this one fixed in a really challenging situation. She did a really fantastic job sorting it out.
In this letter to the council that you're talking about, the 21 local boards described this Fairer Funding Initiative as cost-shifting without discussion, asserting that they weren't considered during consultation for this decision. Do you believe this was a fair assertion to make?
Yeah, well, I think the concern they had was with that sort of shortfall that I've just talked about in terms of identifying that. Local boards were trying to set their budgets and then being told, actually, you could be up to $1 million in the hole and you've got to make some cutbacks. And that's real frontline stuff for communities that people will see. And so that's kind of where that concern comes from. And look, I agree with it. And many of my colleagues do as well. We need to go on and fix it. But yeah, I suppose the good news is it's all sorted out now.
Yeah, as you're saying, Mayor Wayne Brown has stepped in and said that local boards won't need to worry about covering the budget shortfall this year. But discussions about cost cutting will be pertinent in the coming years as well. One option for resolving this funding imbalance is a potential rate increase. Is this a likely solution or is Auckland Council seeking other approaches?
Yeah, we're talking quite far into the future here, eh? And we've sort of got to have, yarns with the community about the level of service that they desire, right? Because no such thing as a free lunch, right? If we need some extra services within the local community, then it has to be paid for somehow. But through a normal budget consultation process, you can have those kind of discussions. I'd say, look, we're always looking at levels of service and whether they need to be adjusted. That's common discussion year upon year, so that will be a discussion in the future, I'm sure of it. But yeah, at the moment, things are sorted.
Wayne Brown has said that the changes to funding aim to empower local boards on decision-making and budgets, but this power is accompanied by a greater expectation of financial responsibility and discipline. How is Auckland Council hoping that local boards can cut costs without compromising on valuable public services for their local communities?
Yeah, I think there's two ways of doing that. And so one of them is to look at the services that you want to provide for your community and see how you can do things cheaper or more efficiently. I'm a huge fan of the model we have here in West Auckland of contracting our community services to do the services that are sort of directly impacted on the ground and making them flexible for communities. And I think that's a really good way of doing it. So you can look at doing things cheaper. There'll be local boards, I'm sure, that'll be having that discussion whether they some of the things they're doing they still need to do or want to do. And that's all part of a normal process for them as well. So those are kind of the two areas where they can look to kind of make cutbacks and financial decisions. But ultimately, I think it's a good thing because residents have a strong view in a lot of cases of the things that they need in their community, and the best way to influence that is through their local boards that are really on the ground coalface representatives. And so this kind of approach I think is a good one, and it's a more democratic one.
Moving on to my next topic, in response to the recent increase in roaming dogs and dog attacks, Auckland Council just opened New Zealand's first council-operated dog adoption centre. How does the council hope this new centre will help address these issues?
Yeah, look, it's exciting, isn't it? I think it's a really good approach to handle animal shelter kind of dog control situation. Because, look, we got shelters in Manukau, Henderson, Silverdale. They're already housing over 250 dogs, and most of them picked up while roaming the streets. And you know, the capacity has always been an issue, and you worry about kind of sustainability and increasing dog populations roaming around. That's going to be a real challenge for those services. So Councillor Bartley and her team kind of looked at it and said, look, what can we do differently? And how can we treat this problem with kind of love and care, right? And so to kind of reduce that strain, fostering responsible pet ownership and creating a space where families can kind of bond with these animals, I think it's exciting. It's a focus on kind of the foster approach, and I really love it. It's a cool initiative.
Barfoot and Thompson reported as of January 2023 that only 14.8% of the rental properties listed on their website are pet friendly. Is this an issue that's within the scope of Auckland Council in relation to the rehoming of thousands of unregistered and unclaimed dogs?
Yeah, it's not necessarily within Auckland Council's remit, although we do have an advocacy role as politicians. And, you know, I would personally advocate to look at this kind of law and encourage central government to really examine whether, because you know, when you're renting places, so many of these rental applications say, look, no pets, no pets, no pets. And that's a real challenge for people. It's hard enough to find good, affordable rental places in some areas of Auckland as it is. So we need to maybe look at those laws. And so that's what I'd advocate to central government, yeah.
For victims who are attacked and injured by aggressive dogs, reactive disciplinary measures cannot undo the harm caused to these individuals or re-establish their trust in the safety of public places. What proactive measures has Auckland Council considered for addressing the increase of roaming dogs as it correlates with an increase in dog attacks?
Yeah, I mean, you've said it yourself right there. I mean, none of this stuff can, you know, address a victim when they've been attacked by dogs, and it's a tragedy. In a lot of cases, it's children and young people as well. We need to take a really hard stance on that, in my view. And fortunately, we've got a dog control team, some of the toughest people in Auckland, I would say, and they're doing a fantastic job getting out there and addressing incidents of dog harm. Could they do with resources? Of course, always can. And that's something that we should always be looking at, those kind of levels of service. But you know, I think we need to take a hard line where there's been dog attacks. I think it's only fair to the victims.
How will these measures to address these issues be organised to ensure that both pet owners and the wider community are able to utilise public parks and spaces safely at the same time?
Yeah, there's a whole process that's gone on in terms of dog-friendly parks and in terms of on-leash, off-leash designations and those kind of things. You can look it up online. I don't have the address right off the top of my head, but you can actually probably just Google it, I'd say, and check out if your park is safe for dogs. And dogs are allowed on the park, so that's, and you know, usually there's season restrictions and those kind of things as well. So I just encourage first and foremost for people to get wise about that, dog owners to kind of look at whether their park, they're allowed to, what they're allowed to do in that park. That's kind of first step, number one. And then look, honestly, if you're seeing any problematic behaviour, then do call into council. So it's 301-0101, that's 301-0101. Give us a call and we'll send some people to sort it out.
That was Councillor Shane Henderson on the budget shortfall associated with Auckland Council's Fairer Funding Initiative, as well as the opening of New Zealand's first council-operated dog adoption centre to address the increase of roaming dogs.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.